Good afternoon. Welcome, Jimmy Sengenberger in for Stephen Tubbs once more here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Good to be with you. As always, 303-696-1971 is our telephone number. If you'd like to join in to the festivities, you can also text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. And you can tweet at me, at Sang Center. That's Sang with an E, not an A, Center on Twitter. And if you're tweeting at me during the show, why not tag at Tubbs Show as well? That will keep everything cohesive for sure. And, of course, you can email me. A couple of ways to do that to get directly to me. One, 710knus.com. Go to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show page. That's where you can get emails to me. And you can log on to my website, jimmysengenberger.com. No A-I or U in Sengenberger. It's all E's all the time. And so, plenty of ways to get in touch. We've got some great topics and guests to talk with today. And, of course, 303-696-1971, our telephone number. Coming up in the next segment, we'll be joined by Pam Anderson. She is running to be the next Secretary of State here in this great state of Colorado. Make no mistake, Jenna Griswold needs to go. Pam Anderson's the one to make it happen. And I think things are really looking very strong for Pam. Then at the top of the next hour, we'll be joined by someone who often likes to stir the pot a bit with his columns that he writes nationally. Syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete will join me to talk about some of the political dynamics across the country, what we're seeing as we are now within that two-week final home stretch to the November 8th elections. Can you believe it? My goodness. Time is flying right on by. We are so close to it. Plus, Michael Fields will join me. He, of course, heads up the Advanced Colorado Institute and will be joining us to talk a little bit about his sense for the state of play in our candidates in Colorado, like Pam Anderson, Heidi Ganahl, Joe O'Day, who should be joining my show this coming Saturday, by the way. I, of course, host the Jimmy Sengenberger Show from 6 to 9 every Saturday morning. Probably should have mentioned that right at the top, huh? Anyway, back to the guest lineup. Michael Fields will break down some of the ballot initiatives as well. So I'm looking forward to talking with Michael about what is on your ballot in terms of those initiatives and constitutional amendments. We'll get his take on those things and more. And one more time, 303-696-1971. Is our telephone number. If you'd like to join into the program, there will be ample time to call in as well. So, look, gross domestic product numbers came in, and they are showing the economy purportedly grew 2.6% in the third quarter, which would mean that if we were in recession before, we would be using technical numbers out of a recession, although not so fast in terms of the strength of the economy. GDP is a measure I've been critical for years of gross domestic product as a measure of economic growth, because what it includes, not to get too technical here, this is a politics show after all, but it includes government spending and investment, as well as private sector investment and consumption. And they basically net exports as well. And so that equation for GDP overweights government spending. And Biden may be claiming that he has miraculously cut the deficit, but in truth, government spending is still at record highs, and it overweights any improvement in the economy when that happens. But even if we were to take 2.6% GDP as a genuine number, the American people are not feeling positive gains. The American people are suffering right now in this economy, particularly amidst bite inflation and shrinkflation. That is, products getting smaller, not as many things. You buy a bag of candy, you're probably not getting as much candy, in addition to the costs going up significantly. And then you see energy bills that are on the rise. In fact, here's a little tidbit from NBC News about that.
Doesn't matter if you heat your home with heating oil, gas, or electricity, you're going to pay more to stay warm this winter.
From the Northeast and Midwest to parts of the South, Mother Nature has already given millions of us a sneak peek at what's ahead. And this morning, the forecast for America's collective wallet this winter may also be a bit frigid.
It's a very, very high bill.
Across the board, energy costs are expected to be higher than last year. The federal government expects the biggest jumps for customers who use heating oil or natural gas to stay warm, up 27 and 28%.
There you go. We are getting into the winter months. We could see it with a little bit of snow today. It's getting cold. People want to heat their homes. The cost of heating your home is going to go up. And yet, even so, the Biden administration is trying to tout the economic gains and act as though it's some sign that things are doing just fine, that they are hunky-dory. And even taking credit for focusing on inflation. Really? Really? Well, go to White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain. This is what he had to say.
The president's been talking about the economy and inflation all year long. In fact, his signature economic achievement this year in August was a bill called the Inflation Reduction Act. So he's been out there fighting to bring down prices. He's been out there fighting to bring down the price of gas. It fell all summer. We had a little increase in early October. We're bringing it down again. He's been out there fighting to bring down the cost of prescription drugs. This is something he's been talking about all year long and, again, succeeded in getting a bill passed. So we are not coming to this economic argument late. We've been on this argument all year long.
We've been on this argument all year long about the economy. We haven't come to this late because we passed the Inflation Reduction Act. And the Inflation Reduction Act shows that we care about inflation. You name a bill that, but it actually boosts inflation. That's quite a thing to take credit for and claim you're focused on the economy. You got to tell this to Austin Goolsbee as well. He's a former Obama administration economic advisor, and he says, look, the economy's got a bumpy road ahead.
But our overall point is still pretty bumpy. So I think people should buckle their seatbelts on this one.
Buckle their seatbelts on this one from the overall economy being pretty bumpy. It is. Isn't it just something else? The world that they live in when they tout, oh, look at the economy, it's doing okay, and we passed the Inflation Reduction Act, and that makes things all better, even if it doesn't, but we want you to think we're addressing it very closely, even when we're making it worse. My goodness, just the mentality here. They want you to believe something on the economy that simply is not true. And then they'll deny other issues such as, say, crime. Axios's Josh Krasher was, I'm not sure if this was on Fox News or where it was, but he notes that crime is a top issue, and you know, the sense of the Democrats is that they're just not addressing it.
The fact that we're even talking about the New York governor's race as potentially competitive is something of a sea change in recent years. And, you know, one common thread, Bill, in those races you mentioned, crime. In the governor's races, crime is a top issue in many of those states. I'm thinking Oregon, New Mexico, certainly New York.
Colorado.
There's a worry with that in races where Democratic governors haven't been able to take a proactive stance on rising crime rates, rising murders in their home states, and where, you know, it feels like Democrats aren't addressing the big problem that many voters are facing. Mm-hmm. That is going to be a challenge. It's making these blue states very competitive down the final home stretch.
Other than his comment that these Democrats haven't had the chance to take a stand on crime, I think he's spot on. In that regard, that's an excuse. Like, they haven't had a chance. For governors running for re-election, they've had 4 years. Like here in Colorado, Polis had 4 years, and instead he allowed crime and actually exacerbated crime, but allowed it to get worse and worse with his policies, with his approach. And then it wasn't until, what was it, earlier this year in January, he gives his State of the State address and he says, we're going to make Colorado one of the safest 5-10 states in the union. Where have you been this whole time, Jared? But again, the fact that the Democrats are trying to convince the American people that the economy's just fine, the economy's okay, don't worry about it. And on the other hand, ignore crime and say, there's no there. Meanwhile, education's crumbling as well, and they want you to think that they were heroes on keeping schools open somehow. Go to Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan in her debate this week against her incredible opponent, Tudor Dixon. Whitmer was like, I only closed schools for 3 months. What? Tell that to the parents in Michigan. And then, of course, there's the southern border chaos on top of all of that. The fact of the matter is these issues are not looking good for the Democrats and giving Republicans a lot to work with. Here is to MSNBC, one Generation Z Hispanic voter speaking about the Democrats breaking promises.
What do Democrats need to be doing better to reach out, not only to just your generation, but your community of family and friends that are Latino?
I think there's a lot of promises. We get a lot of promises. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We'll enact this. And then you vote, and then they're there, and it doesn't happen. I'm still a Democrat. My views haven't changed, but it's disheartening to know that we've put you there. We've elected you to represent us. We've trusted you, and it still feels like we're in the same rut that we were in before.
Another Gen Z Latina voter blasted the Democrats as not being a party of results, but something else.
Sometimes feel like the Democrat Party is a branding. Well, if I represent myself as a Democrat, I'm going to get the minority vote, or I'm going to get more people's votes because I'm a Democrat. But I don't think that necessarily means that they are doing enough to prioritize and work on issues that are important to minority communities.
Wow. And yet the Democrats will claim that they stand for the minority communities, that they have led the fight against voter suppression in states like Colorado and across the country. That they are calling Latinas and Latinos Latinx, so feel better because they're using Latinx. And it's not working. Elections are an issue of turnout. Right there, those are two younger voters, and yes, younger voters tend to vote less than older voters. But that's still an indication that there isn't so much enthusiasm. That girl we just heard, Gen Z Latina voter. There was another clip I didn't pull, but another clip where she says that she's getting far more outreach from Republicans than Democrats. That ain't a small thing. There are a lot of good tea leaves right now looking out over the next couple of weeks for Republicans. And I played this both days, Monday, Tuesday, when I was in for Stefan, and now I'm going to play it again. Chris Matthews, returning from Me Too Death on MSNBC, had something that I thought was actually pretty darn savvy. Let's remind ourselves.
But this goes back to 1946. I've been reading about this. Murray Chotiner, who was Richard Nixon's first campaign manager, said that the voter can only think of three things in the voting booth. Make sure all three are about your opponent, and all three are negative. And now they've got inflation, crime, and the border. And they keep pounding and pounding those three issues over and over again.
What do Democrats need to be doing better to reach out, not only to just your generation, but your community of family and friends that are Latino?
I think there's a lot of promises. We get a lot of promises. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We'll enact this. And then you vote, and then they're there, and it doesn't happen.
listen to heed the words of Chris Matthews, because the Democrats are clearly too dense to listen to one of their own. It's remarkable to see what is happening, and I feel like there are a lot of encouraging signs right now going on in Colorado and across the country. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger in for Stephen Tubbs. We'll talk more about this. We'll open the phones in a bit. We'll discuss with syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete as well at the top of the next hour. But coming up in the upcoming segment, we'll be joined by Pam Anderson, Republican candidate for Secretary of State, who did a phenomenal job in Monday's debate on 9 News. Keep it right here. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Stephen Tubbs. We're just getting started on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. Coming back, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Stephen Tubbs. Everybody loves little Stevie Ray Vaughan. Thanks, Leroy, plugging that in there. That's a cool tune. Welcome back. Good to be with you as always. News Talk 710 KNUS, Denver's local talk leader. So you have to know that you've got some issues if you're a Democrat. And Kyle Clark and co. are pushing back against you for claiming you didn't say something that you so clearly said, or maybe for your hypocrisy on something like, I don't know, transparency regarding dark money. On Monday, there was a debate between the must-become outgoing Secretary of State Jenna Griswold and the Republican nominee Pam Anderson on 9 News. And here's just a little taste of when Marshall over there on 9 News pressed Griswold on that topic.
I know it's a campaign finance question, but it's really a question about, do you practice what you preach? You monitor donations to the Democratic Association of Secretaries of State. You're part of the executive committee that dictates what happens to that money. Can I see where every dollar that comes to that organization comes from, where it's spent, and how much has been used to support your race?
Well, none of it has been used to support my race, so that's first off, and that's clear. And DAS follows all campaign finance rules in the states that it participates in and federal rules. And to tell you, I'm the first one to say that our rules should change. That's why I think we should overturn Citizens United and continue to shine light on dark money. But I think it's just as important to highlight two things. Number one, my fellow Democratic secretaries of state elected me at a time when democracy is under threat to do our best to elect folks who will stand up for the right to vote of every eligible voter. To be very clear, Marshall, there are 11 nominees for Secretary of State who are big lie nominees, who are election deniers, running to oversee free and fair elections when they don't believe in free and fair elections.
I don't want to belabor this, but to the specific Democrats Association of Secretaries of State, even though it's federal and we're running for a state office here, you oversee something that you would prefer it to be open and the light shined on everything. Can I see every dollar that filters through that organization that you have a say in right now?
Well, you can see every dollar in compliance with the current rules and regulations. So it depends on exactly what you mean, but I've been a champion for shining more light on dark money here in Colorado.
But I'm not going to take the initiative myself as chair of a national organization that supports Democratic candidates for Secretary of State all across the country. What's going on there? What about leading on transparency with organizations that you have control over? Let's talk about this and more with Pam Anderson, the Republican candidate for Secretary of State, who, gosh, the number of endorsements, I think, just keeps on climbing from across the aisle and from major newspapers here in this state. Pam, welcome back to KNUS.
Oh, thanks for having me back on, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
It's always good to talk with you. We'll get to a bunch of different things, I think, in this segment. But I would like you to react to that clip I just played, because that was astounding, where she's saying, I want more transparency and we got to address dark money, but I'm not going to take the initiative myself with the organization that I lead, the Democratic Association of Secretaries of State.
Yeah, you know, I said in the debate, if this is a principle, if you say you're a champion against dark money, which she has said in multiple forums and debates that we have had, why not stand on your principle and say who you write the checks to? I think that it is misleading. I think it's duplicitous. I think it's evasive. And my opponent seems to take credit for these principles, but doesn't stand up when it's hard, when it's not politically convenient. And it is one of the points about, you know, her bringing the Secretary of State's office to such a partisan degree, like we've never seen in Colorado, for such a politically diverse state, raising millions of dollars with partisan and very polarizing and divisive rhetoric, and then saying, well, you know what, I think we should shine a bright light, but maybe not in this case.
Yeah, I mean, it's striking, too, because right after that exchange, and there was just a little bit more, then you had the chance to jump in, and you pointed to the fact that she had said in the Guardian newspaper that, quote, the country could lose the right to vote, and we could lose more of our fundamental freedoms in less than 3 months. That is, if Republicans were to win in these Secretary of State's races and so forth in this country. And Kyle Clark followed up by pushing back because she denied ever saying what she actually said. That was pretty bizarre to me. But I think the juxtaposition of that part of the debate where you were talking about the Guardian comments and what we just heard regarding dark money was noteworthy, putting those two things back to back.
Well, I think what we want here in Colorado, what voters tell me, is they want this office and this role to stay above the fray. And, you know, when my opponent has been criticized, she deflects and refuses to take accountability, even for her own words. And it is one of the points that the Denver Post pointed out when they endorsed my candidacy. I think that real leadership is taking accountability for not only what you say, but what you do. When you make multiple mistakes in your office due to your lack of leadership and then try to obscure that responsibility, as she did with the mailed postcards for the mailed registration cards, I think that shows, and it makes voters wonder, if you can't take responsibility of this or be transparent about this, what else will you obscure? This is a public trust, and we need to make sure that we are standing up even when it's hard, as I feel I have done throughout my entire campaign, and be forthright about the type of leader you will be and what kind of performance we can expect.
Again, we're talking with Pam Anderson, Republican candidate for Secretary of State, the longtime former clerk of Jefferson County, municipal clerk in Wheat Ridge, and for 5 years was the president of or executive director of the Colorado County Clerks Association. And Pam, I think it's noteworthy you brought up the Denver Post. Yeah, the Denver Post, the Denver Gazette, the Durango Herald, the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. You've also got the Time Magazine cover story where you, not Jenna Griswold, were included in that on the cover of Time Magazine and in this article about defending and improving elections in our country. And then you're getting Democrat endorsements. What's going on in this race? And by the way, who are some of the Democrats that have said, you know what, Pam Anderson is the one we need for Secretary of State, not Jenna Griswold?
Well, I've been really honored to receive the endorsement and support of over 40 now state and local election officials, Democrats like former county clerk Hillary Hall from Boulder, Deb Johnson from Denver, Karen Long from Adams County, Patty Nickel from Bent County, unaffiliated local election officials from Rout County, Pitkin County, La Plata County, Ouray County, wow, and Republicans all over the state. And I think what, you know, four former secretaries and those folks that do this that are people of political principle, but understand that the Secretary of State's job, any election official's job, is a nonpartisan role that should be professional. And there are ethics involved around maintaining the high level of confidence and trust that we want to hold the public trust for this important role for democracy.
Pam, when we look at some of the rhetoric that has been used on elections from, let's say, both sides of the aisle, I do think that there is a significant frustration among most Americans that elections themselves have become such partisan and divisive issues. And we see that with Jenna Griswold and her rhetoric, such as the Guardian interview that I referenced and came up during the debate, and she flatly denied saying, again, what she said. And, of course, we've seen a slew of different partisan political activities from Griswold. When you talk to voters across Colorado, especially those who are unaffiliated, is the sense that you're getting that people are just tired of that and they want something that basically they don't really hear about the Secretary of State except when it comes to registering a business or going and voting on election week?
Yeah, you know, it's certainly traditionally never been a role that has received such attention. Usually you have to tell people what your county clerk or your Secretary of State does and what that role is. But you know, there's heightened concerns around how our elections work. And I what voters tell me is they prefer a professional that will come, like I have, all across the state into every room. I talk about my background and candidacy for about 10 minutes and then answer questions about how our elections work here in Colorado for an hour and 45 minutes. And that is what restores confidence far more than dark money ads that lie about my record or 30-second spots taking credit and touting achievements that my opponent did not achieve by herself. Colorado has always been a place where we have worked in a bipartisan manner across the aisle for our American values for free, fair, and accurate elections. These are not mutually exclusive ideas. They don't belong to one party or the other. And that's how we were able to become a leader in the country in elections administration.
Again, Pam Anderson, our guest, a few minutes left with the Republican candidate for Secretary of State. Obviously, ballots are out. I've been encouraging listeners, if you haven't received your ballot for some reason, make sure you contact your county clerk to get that sorted out, because you should have it by now, to be sure. What's your message in terms of getting out the vote and also the smart ways to go about it? For example, when is the last day that you want to, if you want to mail your ballot in, that it's a good idea to do that, and any days later you might have issues with it getting to the your county clerk's office in time? Just any notes about getting out the vote and making sure that you do it in the best way?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just hope and encourage all voters to vote. I'd like to earn their vote as well for Secretary of State. But more than that, I've spent the last 20 years, you know, doing my life's work, enabling your constitutional rights. And I hope that people will step up and share their voice and their vote this year. You can do it very easily in Colorado. Yes, ballots were mailed over the last week. If you haven't yet received your ballot, call your county clerk. You can also go into any vote center in your county. You can find those locations at govotecolorado.gov. And if you have decided and are ready to vote, voting early is a great idea, because that means your vote will be included in the big reveal at the close of polls at 7 o'clock. If you're going to mail your ballot back, make sure that it's in the mail no later than Monday, next Monday. Give it at least a week to get back safely. But there are hundreds of drop boxes around the state that are safe and secure that you can deposit your ballot box in. And remember also to track your ballot. You can have a ballot track sign up at GoVote Colorado, and you will get a text message or an email letting you know when your ballot's been received and processed.
And just a final question, Pam Anderson. When we look at the stakes of this election, we've talked a lot about that in this conversation. They're very high. But how are you feeling about it? What's your sense for where things are at with your campaign for Secretary of State? And frankly, the Republican ticket at this point, where you have a lot of concerns over inflation and a variety of other issues that people don't feel like they're being addressed well.
Yeah, I've been walking door to door, talking to voters, going to anywhere invited to talk about the importance of these races, the importance of my race. And after, you know, the last several debates, I really feel like the momentum has shifted. We are feel there's a lot of wind behind my sails. People are encouraged about the thoughtful approach, the reasonable, experienced, professional approach to elections and the Secretary of State's office and the strength of leadership. People are talking a lot about the economy, inflation, and restoring balance to a state that is very politically diverse. Our largest group of voters are unaffiliated voters, 45%. And that has resonated at the door. They're people that are concerned and are looking for change.
Absolutely. Pam Anderson, where can folks go to learn more about you and your campaign for Secretary of State?
Oh, there's so much information. You can go to andersonforsos.com. I hope to earn your vote. And please remember, don't vote any later than 7 p.m. on Election Day, Tuesday, November 8th. And what, we're at 12 days and counting, I think, and couldn't be more excited.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe how close we are. I bet you really can't either. It's been a long time coming.
It's been a year. It's been very rewarding. But, yes, a lot of work and a lot of mileage. And a couple of set of tires.
So. Oh, Pam Anderson, best of luck to you. I think you're looking really good as far as your chances on November 8th. So let's keep the faith and keep on working to right this ship here in Colorado. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Once again, Pam Anderson, Republican candidate for Secretary of State, joining us. She needs to defeat partisan hack Jenna Griswold, who's always focused on her own self-interest in more ways than one. When it comes to her office as Secretary of State and her tenure. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger, in for Stephen Tubbs. We'll pick up the conversation on the other side. What are your thoughts? Are you revved up and ready to go with this election? Have you gotten your ballot in, or do you have some things you need to figure out first? How about that conversation with Pam Anderson? What do you make of the race there between Pam and Jenna? 303-696-1971, our telephone number. Keep it right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. We are flirting with disaster this election cycle, but we can avert it, can't we? Jimmy Sangenberger in for Stephen Tubbs. Gotta love a little Molly Hatchet, huh? Leroy Doffenbaugh, producer extraordinaire behind the glass, as always. Of course, Leroy is my producer on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show every Saturday morning from 6 to 9 right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. So it's a natural fit whenever I sit in for Mr. Tubbs, who, gosh darn it, is in Hawaii. We had a little bit of snow this morning, and I guess throughout the day there was, you know, snow flurries and such. And meanwhile, Stephen Tubbs is in Hawaii. Duck. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Stephen Tubbs, News Talk 710 KNUS. Not griping at all, not at all, about the luck with which Stephen is living his life right now this week. Good to be with you. 303-696-1971, our telephone number, top of the hour. We'll be joined by syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete to get his thoughts on where things are at politically. We'll have ample time to call in as well. Again, 303-696-1971, our telephone number. You can text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. Look, John Fetterman is the Democrat running for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania up against Dr. Mehmet Oz. And, gosh, the other night in their debate, Fetterman, he hardly showed up. And, look, there is this question of how hard can you push against a guy like Fetterman when you feel bad for him? He had a stroke in May, and it's clearly showing. He's got significant issues, health issues going on. But at the same time, it's important for the people of Pennsylvania, for the people of any state, to be able to vote with confidence that their U.S. Senator, next U.S. Senator, is going to be up to the job, up to the task. And quite frankly, during the debate the other night, he malfunctioned answering a question where he was asked specifically about his record of opposing fracking. And by the way, this is John Fetterman in 2018, for starters.
I do not support its expansion. I don't support it in areas like our national forests. I don't support it in untouched green areas and places like that. You know, most importantly, if we are the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, we need to have the most comprehensive and extensive environmental controls, and we currently don't have that under the current environmental protection. We need to have the best environmental controls to make sure that the environmental impact is at a minimum.
Guess what we do? The United States leads the world in safe extraction of both oil and natural gas. But that was Fetterman in 2018. He does not support fracking. Here was Fetterman just this week.
I do want to clarify something. You're saying tonight that you support fracking, that you've always supported fracking, but there is that 2018 interview that you said, quote, I don't support fracking at all. So how do you square the two?
Oh, I do support fracking, and I support fracking, and I stand, and I do support fracking.
I guess he supports fracking. I don't know. The people of Pennsylvania have a big choice to make, but here's something else from Fetterman. And this one, you watch the video, and the host is holding back a smile. It's sad. Fetterman messing up the name of the Statue of Liberty.
You know, and, you know, you talk about the liberty of a statue has never had an inscription inside that said, you know, send your tired, huddled masses and put them on a bus and turn them into a cheap political stunt.
The liberty of statue? Huh? This is something, thankfully, we don't have to deal with that kind of comparison in the state of Colorado in our races. Although there's ample reason to toss out Michael Bennett, to be sure, for the U.S. Senate. Put Joe O'Day in there. But, gosh, I mean, you can't help but cringe and feel bad. At the same time, here's the question. How much can you push in a campaign against someone who's got a significant health issue that clearly will impair them and their ability to do the job if they are elected, in this case, to the United States Senate? Because there is certainly a point at which one could get the impression that Republicans are picking on him too much. But you need to hold people to account. It's like Biden. Biden's in better shape than Fetterman, maybe. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But in either instance, you can't help but feel a little bit bad as you hear it. And have some concern about what is going on there. What would happen in the case of Fetterman if he's in the Senate? What's going on in the White House in the case of Joe Biden? 303-696-1971 is our telephone number if you want to join into the conversation on that exact topic. When we come back, we will be joined by syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete to get his take on where things are at electorally across the country. What is the sense here for the election, especially given the key issues that resonate across the country that Republicans are running on, the economy, inflation in particular? Can the Democrats overcome it with a 2.6% GDP report? How about crime and the skyrocketing crime we're seeing everywhere? Education. The third issue, or sometimes interplayed with the border, which ties into drugs and crime, both right now. We'll get Ruben Navarrete's thoughts on that, plus the Hispanic community scratching their heads over what, especially young Hispanic voters, scratching their heads over what in the world is going on with the Democrats that they thought were going to do certain things and it's not happening. Or they feel like they're all about branding and not results. We'll get Ruben's pulse on the Latino community and Latino voters coming up as well. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Stephen Tubbs here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Don't go anywhere. Two more hours up ahead. We're flying by.